And he's already appealed with the state tax commission on all of these two.
For 2023 only.
For 2023, okay.
Yep. I'll explain that here in a minute.
Okay, and Kevin, what's your capacity with Life's Journey, Inc.?
I'm their attorney.
Attorney, okay. And you, sir, what's your name?
Roger Recate.
My card's on the inside of that folder, too.
Okay, and Roger, what's your function here with the...
I'm president of Life's Journey, the nonprofit we founded in 2010.
Okay.
And then also the founder of Little Heroes Park, the development north of the Big Cross. And then that's the development name.
Being an attorney myself, is it okay if I direct any questions to him? I don't want to get in your way here.
Sure. I can't stand, so may I have permission to stay?
No problem.
I don't know if there's microphone issues if you're being recorded, but...
I think we'll get you.
I think we can hear you.
That's fine.
For more than a minute.
So. If you don't mind, I would like to open the prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this time, for this Board of Adjustments, their time putting into this, Lord. We thank you. We just ask for wisdom, Lord, for decisions here today. We thank you for the other leaders just to watch over them, including Susan Chapman and our attorney, Kevin Callahan. We just thank you, Lord, and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Kevin.
So I think we've kind of started going into this, but we're here about 14 parcels that were gifted to Life's Journey. They were partially gifted, partially sold. We call it a bargain sale. Lawyers and realtors probably understand this was part gift, part donation that were gifted to the organization. Before I get into what I want to do is outline some of the law that applies and why the organization is exempt. And then the more complex issue is how the use lines up with those purposes. And Roger's going to then step in and share some of that use with us. But just starting with the exemption statute says that the following subjects are exempt from taxation for state, county, and local purposes. All property, real and personal, and I won't read all of them, just the relevant portions are for religious worship and for purposes purely charitable. Other law that's applicable to what we're going to talk about today is just simply the First Amendment of the United States, which applies to, of course, it begins with Congress shall make no law. But the U.S. Supreme Court and the Missouri Supreme Court have both said that by nature, one, there's a constitutional equivalent in the Missouri Constitution, in the Missouri Constitution Article 1, Section 5. But then the Missouri Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court have both said that the prohibition against, or for governments to prohibit the free exercise of religion or to establish religion, it violates the First Amendment of the United States, both at the state level, the county level, or any state agency, by effect of the 14th Amendment. So I bring that up because I've had a conversation with the assessor. I've now got, I think, four cases that I'm dealing with that have all of a sudden, out of the blue, had their tax exempt status in Taney County affected, all of which are evangelical churches. Or parachurch organizations. And when I brought up issues of establishment to Ms. Chapman, I was told that the First Amendment doesn't apply to her. I clarified it. That shocked me. I was told the Missouri Constitution doesn't apply to her, that she's able to determine what is religious and what's not. In this case, we follow, in the case of this organization, we follow the Franciscan test, which everybody is familiar with, I'm assuming. And it goes out in a packet from the assessor's office when they send out their determination letters. And in order to be tax exempt under the Franciscan test, you have to be shown that it's owned by a nonprofit, used by a nonprofit, and the dominant use is for the benefit of an indefinite number of persons, and it benefits society generally. So it's owned by a nonprofit. You have in front of you this green notebook. It includes articles of incorporation. It includes a dissolution clause required in order to be exempt under 501c3. It includes bylaws that show that they operate. There's no one that inures the benefit of ownership inures to. It's organization carried on for the benefit of the public. There's a determination letter from the IRS. They went through the long process obtaining tax-exempt status and recognized under as an organization under 501c3. There's a letter from the Missouri Department of Revenue that they're an exempt organization for sales tax, sales and use tax purposes. And there's also a copy of a warranty deed that shows that they own the property. So in those documents, the first leg of the Franciscan test is met. It's owned by a nonprofit. Next, it's used by a nonprofit. And Roger's going to go into the facts of this, but I want to point out what a few words mean, both from the case law, and, well, not just from the case law, or I should say just from the case law. It has to be actually and regularly used, are the terms that the law uses. Actually means actually. It's not a very tricky word. And Roger's going to talk about the uses that they do on the property, and he has pictures that shows those things. There's hiking trails with Bible verses and throughout it. But it also, the other word is regularly used. And regularly, I would use the term probably more systematically. Throughout tax law and throughout Missouri cases, both in Franciscan and cases interpreting Franciscan, regularly doesn't mean consistent or constantly. Doesn't mean all the time. It means kind of systematically. So maybe a church meets once a week. Maybe the Olympics happen every 4 years. Maybe we have annual meetings that happen at a retreat center. So it's more of a regularly means systematic. It doesn't mean constantly used. And then the more complex part, I think the most complex part of the Franciscan test has to do with dominant use. And that means dominant use is, one, it's for the benefit of an indefinite number of people. And like the gentleman who spoke first, there was concern about whether there were five people or thousands of people. All of that's actually irrelevant. The issue is it open to an indefinite number of people? And that doesn't mean it's open to everybody. Churches are exempt. Churches are nonprofit organizations. They're not open for everybody to walk in and participate on Sunday morning. You can't walk up and go to the pulpit and have your say. The local Lions Club isn't open for everybody. It's open for everybody to join and participate in the general public, but it's not just open for everybody. The local synagogue or mosque, those aren't just, they're not public parks. They serve a certain number of people. What indefinite means, or I should say by opposite, what definite means is it only serves the people who are members of a certain family. So that's this kind of stuff. This language actually flows from the concept of UBIT, non-related business income tax, where people have formed organizations that really just, their scholarship programs that just serve their own family. And they're a definite small little class of people it serves. That's not what this is. It means that it serves, it doesn't limit it to these 10 people can use it, but it serves the public in general. And it's for the public good. It doesn't mean all. And then benefits society in generally. Again, it doesn't have to benefit every single member of society. We can't. The doors to this property don't need to be thrown open and say to everybody, come in all the time, set up your tents, live here. You're allowed to do things like charge a fee to come in. You're allowed to do things like say, this is for underprivileged children to use at this time. You're allowed to have a food bank that says this is for needy people. It's not for everybody to come and do their grocery shopping. So whether it benefits society in general doesn't mean that the gates are just open for everybody to come in at all times. It's does it serve the public in a general way? And we say that there's things that everybody's not welcome to, but they still serve people. They still serve. It's good to have these things in our society. The Franciscan test also looks at things like, it's Franciscan, and there's also these other class cases, Sunday School of Southern Baptist Convention, Goodwill, Salvation Army. Those are all cases that they look at things like to support that it's the dominant use of nonprofit is that it doesn't participate in commerciality. So, for instance, one of the properties of Little, not the property we're talking about, but the other property that Life's Journey owns has a miniature golf course on it. Well, it's a miniature golf course for underprivileged kids using the program. It's not competing with mini golf course on 76. It's not a commercial place that's making money. In fact, you have profit and loss statements in that green book too. This is clearly a not. I work for a large law firm, and they said, Kevin, why do you want to practice nonprofit law? They thought that nonprofit, they don't have any money, and I was like, no, they have plenty of money, and they can pay the lawyers. So nonprofit doesn't mean that you don't make any money, but in this case, it does mean that. So this is an organization that's spending money for the good of this community and for the good of society. They're not making money. And more so, if they were making money, it doesn't inure to the benefit of any private individual. There's no shareholder, there's no partner that's, you know, taking the $10 fee you might pay it sometimes, which can be waived if you can't pay it. Nobody's taking that and putting it in their bank to benefit some shareholder. It's definitely not Roger. Roger's throwing money into this, not taking money from it. So where I think that we're getting into a problem is, like this organization, like the others I represent in Taney County recently, are being targeted because they're not the kind of religion that the assessor practices. And she's not been secretive. I don't know if she's in this room or not, but she's not been secretive that she's going to go after these types of organizations. That she told me that there are churches out there with pastors driving Cadillacs and Jaguars, which, by the way, is none of her business. Doesn't matter what kind of cars they drive. That doesn't affect whether they're doing religious worship or whether they're a nonprofit. But because they drive Jaguars and Cadillacs, she thinks they need to be taxed, and she's going to go after them. So there's large organizations in this area that have benefited this community and this county for hundreds of years, that are the target of a new theory of what religion is. And the thing is that the assessor doesn't get to determine what's religion. It's not the religion that jives with her practice. It's not the religion that she's familiar with. And any kind of her or him, whoever the assessor is, establishing what the test for religious practice is in this county is entanglement. And the Supreme Court has recognized that anytime you're doing tax exemption, there's some degree of entanglement. But when you're excluding certain organizations based upon non-religious purposes, if you're excluding based upon what the religious practice or the administration of religious practice, that's clearly entanglement. And not only is it wrong, not only does it establish a religion, but it's going to get this county into trouble. And it may have already got this county in trouble in the way it's been practiced in the last year by the current assessor.
Okay. I have a couple of questions, if I could, Kevin. I can't find in the bylaws what happens upon wrapping up of the...
It's in the Articles of Incorporation.
Okay.
It's page 1, I think, on that.
It's the very bottom article.
Okay, I guess I didn't see the articles.
I put them in the bylaws, but this was before I got to town.
What page was that?
What tab is or the article?
It's tab 8.
I think 8 are the bylaws. That doesn't appear articles.
I have a copy of it here.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
that would be great.
It's there. I looked at it before. Okay. When you asked the question of the previous professor. Here, Roger.
Okay. That's it. That's not it. I'll go over to that.
Your exempt status from recognized by the IRS without being in either the article.
I assume that. I just needed to. Do you guys have any comments before we hear about the use at all? Do you have any questions or comments?
I have questions, but I need to hear some other stuff.
I'm going to let you speak.
Thank you.
I need to hear what he's going to say before my questions.
Okay. The only comment I would make is, Counsel, we have had a variety of organizations in front of us. We're